gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends. Welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 67 for New Comic Book Day, August 2nd,
2017.
I am your host, Kent Rose. Sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back, Vern. It seems like it's only been a couple days since we did this.
I know. I think we did this in three times in like less than a week.
I know. This is a little bit weird. It's been kind of fun. We've had a lot of DC superpowers.
Yeah, all the news we had, guys, we could not compact in one or even two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So this is our third one in less than a week, and we're having fun doing it. I hope you guys have fun listening to us.
And we had a great Comic-Con. If you didn't catch the Comic-Con annual number one, go back to DC Superpowers Podcast, iTunes feed, or wherever you get your podcasts, and download annual number one, the Comic-Con Spectacular. We had over 2 hours of going through just what DC brought to Comic-Con, and we still didn't get it all.
No, we didn't. We couldn't get it all. There was so much news that came out. There's so many interviews. They were just, hey, if you're famous or you're writing for DC, here's a mic. I'm going to talk to you.
Exactly.
So everybody that you could think of at DC had something. They even had a lot of things with the Flash writers, Justice League Action.
Yes.
Teen Titans Go, all that stuff.
My big takeaway that I learned from Comic-Con this year from checking out the panels and stuff is, if Dan DiDio or Jeff Johns have a microphone in their hand, watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to what they're saying, because they will drop something.
Yeah, they'll drop a lot of things. And they've been in the business so long, they know what to say, so they're not spoiling anything. I don't know if you noticed, a lot of the people that were doing the movies coming out next year or this year, they didn't know what to say. It was like,
what can I say? What can I not say?
Like, can I say that?
That's anytime you do any of these things. They're told you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
they're confused usually.
They are. They don't want to have their contract revoked and they get a new actor.
Exactly.
For spilling the beans.
But we actually, DC wasn't done with news there.
Nope.
We actually have more news that came out this week even.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you check the first one about Gotham here?
As it's now loading. Okay, guys, now if anybody remembers the Beware the Batman TV show that was on Cartoon Network a couple years ago, also if you remember the video game Arkham Knight that came out a year and a half ago, I want to say, there was a character in there that would wear a mask like a pig. It was Professor Pig. In the anime series, they made him a mutant. In the video game, they were more true to his
origins.
Well,
you don't have to remember that. If you go back to the beginning of Nightwing's Rebirth run,
mm-hmm.
Professor Pig was a large part of the first 10 or 15. Or first story arc, really.
Yeah, and it's funny you said Nightwing, because now he first appeared in the Batman and Robin comics, and this was not the Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson Batman Robin. This was the Dick Grayson Batman and the Damian Wayne Robin issues that came out in early 2007, or somewhere in 2007. They introduced him. Now, the character they're going to bring into Gotham is more of his origin from the comic books, and if you are familiar with the Arkham Knight game, that's what he's going to be. He was born in Batman's Rogues Galleries for the fourth season and introduced with Jonathan Crane for some of the season. He's manifesting into what the Scarecrow does. Producers are also adding Professor Pig, as I said, in the list of threats that goes on that he will face. It's going to be pretty fun seeing him. Now, as I said, also he was on Cartoon Network. That was the CGI Live version. But when exposed by Screen Rant, the producers, Jeff Stevens, confessed both of a great love for the character.
That was John Stevens.
I'm sorry, John Stevens. Had that a little mixed up there. And brings his motives into the series. He says, I always love Professor Pig because he's just been determined and strange, gross and terrifying, and funny. So this year our show is pretty violent and graphic, so we can handle him, and we can get more violent or graphic than Professor Pig. I remember on the video game, he was probably one of the most eeriest villains we had on the video game. He was very creepy. He did a lot of surgeries that I don't think any other doctor would perform on anybody. So seeing Professor Pig along here with Joker, Riddler, Penguin, all of them. This is going to be pretty good. And we got Solomon Grundy coming back, too. So as we're going to go on here with Gotham coming back on Fox on Thursday nights on September 28th, prepare to see this. Also, the character is from the 60s. Also, I didn't know this might have to do something with revealing the way Pig is. And that's the first arc we have now for our Gotham TV series. But we also have some more TV series. Got a couple more news, actually, too. There's going to be a new villain added to Legends of Tomorrow. Now, if anybody watched the Vixen series that came out on the CW Seed, it was the animated series. It was about 5 minutes each episode. And if you watched the whole series, it turned into basically one episode that would probably appear on Cartoon Network for about 30 minutes. Now, if you remember Vixen, she had a sister. And her sister wanted the medallion talisman on her neck, too.
Yeah, it was the talisman that gives Vixen her power.
And in this third season, that will be returning October 10th, they will face a new challenge from Kusa. If you were a fan of the animated series, you do remember her. As I said, she was her evil sister that won her talisman. But now for live action, she will debut and play by Tracy Infacher. Am I pronouncing that right? Tracy
Infacher, maybe? I'm not sure.
As I said, if you guys are mad that we pronounced your name wrong, come on the show, correct us, and maybe we can get an interview. But you may recognize her from her past shows in Doctor Who and the Originals. So she will be debuting, and if anybody else remembers, she did die in the animated series. Sorry, spoilers. But since this is a time-traveling show with Legends of Tomorrow, you can redirect or just pop into another character's life before they died. So this is going to be a perfect opportunity to go into a dead character in the universe.
Well, the interesting thing is this Tracy plays her here, but in the original animated version, it was Marina Sirtis, I believe, putting the voice for this character. If anybody doesn't remember, Marina Sirtis was actually Counselor Troi in Star Trek The Next Generation.
And you were telling me that I had no idea about that. Didn't put two and two together. And I really am a little fuzzy with the Next Generation. I was more of an original fan. But we will find out what she has at stake for the show next or this season. Well, next for our TV news, we have...
We got a couple of Flash stories.
Yeah.
One, we're kind of excited. I know you're really excited for this one because this is a character we've already said was coming. And I know he's one of your favorites sometimes. Mm-hmm. Is the Elongated Man, Ralph Dibny. We did find out the Elongated Man has been cast.
Mm-hmm.
We have, as soon as I find the name here, where'd he go?
What's the who'd you? Where'd
Sawyer,
you go?
Yeah. Hartley Sawyer will be playing Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man. Now, anybody who, I saw the picture of him here, it looks familiar, but I figured that out why. But he's known for, the CW Seed had a show called Saving the Human Race. And he was also in Miss 2059 for Go 90, which is actually an app on Android. He's also worked on Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, Glory Days from TBS, and GCB with Kristen Chenoweth on ABC. He's also been in a couple of shorts with Amy Berg and Felicia Day. But really why I thought he looked so familiar to me, and actually they don't have a picture of him on this one, do they?
No, I do not. I had to Google it.
Okay. But if you look at this guy, he kind of looks a little like Sam Witwer. And if you Google Sam's brother, Michael Witwer,
yeah.
He looks very similar to Michael Witwer.
He has a face of him. Yeah, when I saw Sam, I don't see it, but I see it in his brother. Maybe it's the chin. I can't see it in Sam. Plus, I'm so used to seeing Sam as Doomsday.
So it's going to be interesting to see what Hartley brings to this character.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool to just see what they do with this character.
Right. As I said, I don't want just a Plastic Man copy. I want to see Elongated Man become his own character in the
show. What I've kind of seen this as is, well, both Plastic Man and Elongated Man really are copies of Mr. Fantastic anyway.
True.
But in the DC universe, the difference always to me seemed like Elongated Man was basically Plastic Man without the funny.
Right. But in this show, I think they're going to give him the funny. So that's why I'm
probably it's going to be a little weird.
They do have to make him somewhat interesting, but also you could bring Plastic Man in Legends. That would be a bad idea.
Well, they've also said the producers have already said for season 4 of Flash, they're going to bring the lighthearted back to Flash. It's going to be more fun again.
Yeah, that's what we're reading in an arc. We're not going to cover this one too much, basically about the last season. But they said last season was a little bit of a darker tone than what they were used to. Which I got that, but I thought they started going to that darker tone in season 2 instead of 3.
A little bit, but season 3 is where it got really dark. Because you got to remember, the whole season, Barry's trying to save Iris's life. Everything I do has got to save her life. If I mess up, she's going to die.
Right.
That's not a Flash type thing, usually.
No. It does happen. It's one of the challenges Flash does have to take, but I'm glad to see we're going to get back to, I guess, more of like a season one lighthearted take.
Hopefully.
But that'll be good to see Ralph Dibley on the show as, of course, Plastic Man.
Not Plastic Man, the Elongated Man.
See? I'm doing it now.
Hartley Sawyer that's doing it, not Ralph Dibley.
No, but Ralph Dibley is the Elongated Man.
The Elongated Man.
I got my words all twisted up here. It's Monday.
next up, we have another character that's been cast for Flash. And I'm assuming this will be in the first couple of episodes because that seems to be what this is they try to stay ahead of the paparazzi.
Right.
Because Vancouver, the paparazzi are everywhere. So anytime you film anything, they're going to be all over
it's
you.
It's one of the places they're known for shoots of any movie or show. So this is going to be episode 3 of the Flash season 4.
Okay.
Now, if anybody's... I had no idea this character existed until I read these articles.
Yeah, this is a newer character to me, too.
But it's an older character. So Flash's newest foe for at least episode 3 will be, I was about to say Lady Luck, Hazard. Now, the episode is titled Luck Me a Lady. Now,
great song, too, by the way.
Oh, okay. I gotta check it out. Oh, that's probably where they got this whole thing from, then. Now, if you guys look at this photo, she has, like, this, casino...
She looks like
waitress,
a dealer,
maybe?
From a dealer from a casino.
Yeah. Well, the fishnet stockings kind of put me off.
She kind of looks a little like Zatanna, the costume, too, except with a little bit too much red.
Right. But besides that, and she even has, like, she could get some cards in her hand. But now, YVR shoots on Twitter, they caught some pictures of this lucky lady, of Hazard. And she's spotted carrying a briefcase. And I don't know if she's trying to steal money from a scene or she's just literally carrying her briefcase around as the actress. I don't know, but she's also spotted in a red dress getting into a van, and then there's a scene with her by a bus, and she has dice that she wears.
On her vest.
Yeah, and there's more pictures of that. That's really it. So we don't know really what role she's going to be playing and how important she will be if she'll be back, but from what we get here, Becky Sharp, a.k.a. Hazard. Hazard appeared throughout the DC Comics mythos as a member of the Injustice Society and her granddaughter of the original Gambler. That would make sense why she's called that thing.
Yeah.
The antagonist is bestowed with, psychic powers?
Psionic.
Thank you. Psionic powers, which will allow her to cause good or bad accidents to her foes. So she kind of sounds like Jinx.
Yeah, she affects luck.
Yes, and she sounds like Jinx, because doesn't Jinx have that same power from the Teen Titans?
I don't remember. I don't remember Jinx. Wait, I think that was when I was actually collecting Titans, but I don't remember much from that run.
Okay.
Wasn't that mid-90s run was when Jinx was in there?
Mid-90s, early 2000s? Yeah, mid-90s. Yeah, mid-90s, because that was with Hunter Mammoth and all of
them. Yeah, because that's when they reintroduced the Titans again.
Right.
And it was a team that no one ever heard of. Prism was in there. Jinx
was in there. Gizmo,
and there was a couple other
Mammoth,
ones. Yeah.
And I forget his sister's name.
I have to go back. I have those in my comic boxes at home. I have to go back and flip through those.
Pull them out. But the reason why it really made me remember, the powers were a little... Kind of like Jericho's. It was like, unless you really can follow the book and how they use their powers, was a little iffy. But on the TV show that came out early 2000s of Teen Titans, that's what her powers were.
Okay.
Affecting luck. So, this is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And so, throw Flash off a lot.
That's what they've told us on the TV news so far after Comic-Con. Remember, this is all stuff that's come out after Comic-Con. All that information they gave us, well, they're still trickling out more info.
Right. There's so many articles on the web. If you type in DC News, guys, you're going to get a whole bunch of Comic-Con stuff still.
Next up, we got Joe Manganiello has actually been talking Deathstroke.
Yeah.
In the movie news.
Now, I love this article because it still gave me... I was worried he wasn't going to be being Deathstroke at all, but he will still be Deathstroke.
He's talking Deathstroke and not saying anything.
Exactly.
This guy figured out how to do it.
Right. He really did. I'm like, you know what? I applaud you for that.
Now, we all know that Joe Manganiello was supposed to play Deathstroke when Ben Affleck was directing the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But with the new script and them going totally from square one... It's
all
like,
over
is
again.
Deathstroke even in the comic? Well, to the true the Hollywood Reporter actually got a hold of Joe and asked him a couple of questions. The first question they said was, "I think a lot of people are wondering what the status of Deathstroke is in the next Batman movie now that Ben Affleck is off the project as director. Do you have any information about that?" Joe came back with, "I don't. Well, I do, but nothing I can share. I know everything, but I can't say any of it."
I love that answer. It's just like, yeah,
he's
I know.
Being straight
he's
up.
Being straight. Yeah, I was going to say
being
he's
coy,
straight
he's
up.
He's not hiding anything. He's saying straight up, "Hey, I know the answer. I'm not allowed to say."
Right. They can keep going like, "You keep guessing, but I can't tell you."
Well, their follow-up question was, "Is there any idea when we'll find out?" And he answered with, "It's not up to me. That's a good question for Warner Brothers and DC.
There you go. So all I heard was this confirms he will still be portraying Deathstroke somewhere in the DCEU. We just don't know when. He does, exactly. But we do not know yet.
Well, it says here that the interviewer did ask Joe if he meant it in a happy way or a downtrodden way, and Manganiello replied he was shooting for a neutral tone.
Mm-hmm.
To still try to not give anything away.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is they could actually, because of the Deathstroke, who the character is.
Right.
In Arrow, what we've seen him be the villain. We've seen him coming up in the next season. Looks like he may be not quite a hero, but more the anti-hero. Mm-hmm. Like he is in the books right now.
Right. Right.
So I'm wondering if they may just switch the role a little bit and make him more of an anti-hero, mm-hmm. to work with Batman or one of the other characters in the other movies coming up.
You saying that goes back to, I think, what they might do with Black Adam. They're such popular characters, they're saying we're going to go to anti-hero role.
No, Black Adam needs to be a villain to start with.
To start with, yes, but I feel like down the line they're going to make these guys anti-heroes.
Yeah.
I feel like with Deathstroke, you can do this even in the same movie. Make him a villain, show why he's being a villain in terms mm-hmm. of anti-hero. And to be honest, didn't Deathstroke... he did. Yeah, even in the Teen Titans run in the late 80s, he was doing the same thing. He started working with the team, which was really weird at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Joe Manganiello coming back, he will be Deathstroke for the DCEU, as we said. We just don't know when.
Exactly.
But he is not out.
The next bit of movie news we got was Batch of Justice League again. They are back doing reshoots.
Again.
Now, everybody out there should probably heard about the mustache fiasco.
Yeah, as I said.
Which is kind of on the dumb side. And it's just the internet exploding with something that they can run with, which we're not going to deal with here.
As I said, guys, I already put up the whole story from Henry Cavill himself.
Yes.
His post, I reposted to ours. So if you guys are questioning his mustache, check us out on our Instagram at DC Superpowers Podcast. I'm usually doing it at the end of the show. Brain wasn't functioning yet. So check us out on our Instagram post, and that's the latest one I have up there from Henry Cavill himself. So we're not going to touch on that, but we will touch on, to be honest, this whole article is really about the mustache.
But the end of it actually gave some information.
Yes.
Now, they're back doing reshoots, which is fine, and according to Joss Whedon and everybody mm-hmm. from the set, they're mainly reshoots to... changed a little bit of tone, a little bit of connective tissue, add a little bit here and there that seemed to be missing in the early cuts of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of dialogue here and there is what it looks like. But they're spending $25 million on this.
Yeah, and typically...
Some of it is the CG.
Right,
and
of course.
A lot of that is because the whole thing with the mustache, if anybody doesn't know, Henry Cavill is filming another movie right now. And actually, I've heard it two ways. Most people keep saying it's... a new Mission Impossible movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also heard that it could be Man from U.N.C.L.E. I've not done the research yet.
Oh, okay.
He may be doing a second Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie, which myself and Vicky, my wife, will love that because we had a great
time.
Did you
like the original series or the movie better? Or was it each in its own way?
It was its own thing.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the movie?
I haven't seen the movie. I've seen the remake.
He was great in that.
Before they came out, the stick. We can watch it on there, but I haven't seen the new movie yet.
Well, but that's where some of that money may be going anyway.
But typically for most reshoots, like what was that? Not The Force Awakens, I'm sorry, Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One.
When they did theirs. A lot of movies typically when they do a reshoot, it doesn't cost no more than about $10 million. For mm-hmm. this one, Skin says about $25 million for reshoots, which is a little much. But for what they want to do, hopefully it all works out well.
Yeah.
Some of the sources were saying, as Kim was saying, they're trying to connect things. After the Wonder Woman movie came out, they saw what was going on there, how good she was. I think, personally, it might even do some reshoots to make Wonder Woman and Batman literally the main focus.
Probably.
I feel like they're going to be the mom and dad characters of the team.
Yeah. That's so far, that's what it looks like it's going to be. And we know that the six characters are going to be there. Something I wanted to bring up, though, is you remember when they first started putting taglines on this movie?
Mm-hmm.
They were releasing
Unite the Seven.
It says Unite the Seven.
Right.
We know six characters in this movie. Who's number seven? Think about it.
Know.
Count them up.
There's only six.
You got Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. We know Superman's going to be
somewhere in there. We have Flash. We have Cyborg. And
Aquaman.
Of course, Aquaman.
Who's number seven?
I'm saying GL.
You think we're actually going to get Green Lantern?
Who knows? I can't say. I honestly don't know. If we're going to get him in this movie, we might get a glimpse of him. We might get Hal Jordan.
We may get Shazam.
We might get Shazam. We might get Martian Manhunter.
I doubt that because Goyer actually has something to do with this, and we know how much Goyer loves David Goyer loves Martian Manhunter.
Oh, yeah, he loves all the green ones, even Hawk and She-Hulk. I know they're not part of DC, but for all he knows, they probably are.
Yeah.
Jeez,
But anyways, yeah, they are doing reshoots, and a lot of the articles and stuff they talk about point out that Joss Whedon and how well he interweaves the characters all together and knows how to write a comic book and superhero universe.
We've seen this, and as we say, so he's little past tweaks in the 90s of doing Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Little tweaks here and there can do nothing but make it better.
He's very team-driven in his shows, movies, or anything he gets on.
Exactly.
So this will be fun.
Yeah, my big one, though, is who is that number seven? And we will find out in a couple of months.
I'm really... If they are following the plot they are going with, the whole Dark Side and Apocalypse, if it's anything...
Could it be
this is going to be
God.
Justice League War. It could be, but if they are going that route, they're still going to need Hal Jordan, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
That's who was in the new
comics.
Let's
throw it out
movie.
There, since we're actually going to be talking about the New Gods a little later. What New God would actually be a Justice League member to add here that you think would add to it? Would we add, like, Orion or Barda? Or, I don't know. Would Mr. Miracle count as one of the New Gods? No, he was a human that was just...
He was,
that
but
was
wasn't
on Apocalypse.
But he was a new... He was in
he
there.
Considered a New God?
He was in the family, if he wasn't considered one himself. Because of Barda, he was
who
in
else?
There.
I didn't read a lot of Fourth World stuff, so...
I didn't
who
either.
Else, who else was
Orion.
There that's...
What was the other guy? He flies around. I can't think of his name.
We had Metron, but he was more
was
of
that
a...
Metron?
He was more of neutral, I believe. Highfather was the one... It was dark. Was the counterpart for Darkseid.
Right. There was another character in there that... Oh, man, I can't...
You know what? While we're doing this, I can actually...
Google
the New Gods.
But if you look him up, he wasn't even in Justice League Unlimited and Justice League show. But yeah, I don't know. They might show a little glimpse of some of the New Gods. We're getting Steppenwolf. If we don't get a New God, we're going to get Kilowog. I really think Kilowog might make a slight appearance.
Oh, that would be fantastic that they bring
Superman
in Kilowog instead of... Well, no, bring in Kilowog instead of the Earth Lanterns.
That would be cool. Superman throw down.
First you see in the DC Extended Universe is Kilowog. Tell me that wouldn't be great. He shows up, hey, Poozer.
But the reason why...
As much as people crap on the... Green Lantern movie. Mm-hmm. Kilowog was awesome in that thing.
Also, who voiced him was good. The late Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace. But he was a great, great voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to see him and Superman maybe throw down at first and be like, hey, who are you? If we could get him and introduce some other ones, we could get Sinestro. They did reference the Lanterns in the trailer. Oh, there was something else I was reading.
Holy crap. There's a whole huge... these are all the inhabitants of New Genesis. Then they had the Earth-based allies of New Genesis. Then you got the humans with that have the end-life equation.
I don't think it's going to be easy to find that guy's name.
Inhabitants of Apocalypse. There's a lot of... Well, I'd say Jack Kirby did a huge...
He did
an entire universe with the Fourth World
when
they brought these guys in.
The whole world. But here's another theory I had. In the trailer, Stefan was calking about fallen heroes, past heroes or something like protectors.
Yeah, well, he was talking about, if I remember right, he was talking about how easy it will be to take down the Earth because the Earth doesn't have anybody protecting it.
Right.
There are no Lanterns.
Right.
There are no Kryptonian. And he actually just said Kryptonian. He didn't say it with the plural.
Right. Now, here's my thing that I saw somewhere online. I was like, they could be right. That's not a bad theory. I don't know where I seen it, but they were talking about maybe what he meant by... The protector is not there anymore. Since Steppenwolf did come here years before, left the Mother Box, who's to say that there wasn't maybe a Justice Society then? And, of course, all of them that are probably here are dead now or too old
possibly.
To do anything. I think that might have been who he was talking about.
That would actually be kind of cool.
Since they're doing this whole world-building thing, really, they're definitely strong on this world-building thing with DC right now. So I think that'd be nice to get a little call back from the old Justice Society. But that was just some theories. Also, last thing I want to touch on with this article, they do also have a comparison picture of some of the reshoots. And I pointed this out with, I think I was talking to Cameron, I'm like, it's a little bit lighter, and my mother. Someone took a picture of the same scene with Batman, Wonder Woman, talking this with Ben Affleck, they're zoomed in on him. The picture before was just slightly darker, the new one's a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
So they are doing some different tones, some different coloring. I think, as I said, they're not doing the Batman versus Superman color tone, they're doing the Wonder Woman color tone now.
Yeah.
So just little things, tweaks like that is going to make, I think, the movie even better. And we cannot wait until November where we can go see this. I'm probably going to pre-order tickets a month in advance.
Yeah. This one we will definitely be going to together. We'll probably be doing some Facebook Live afterwards.
Oh, of course.
We're going to have some fun with this.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get a hold of the theater and do something at the theater, I think. Yeah, you didn't see that.
I didn't see that. I thought I just was...
Did you see the picture, though, of Ben Affleck walking around with that t-shirt where it just says that on it?
No, I did not. Is it on?
Yeah, it's actually on a black t-shirt with just those. Anybody who doesn't know, the shirt actually says, you can't
Well, this is the parody.
Oh, no.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the parody of it, but you can't save the world alone. And the O and the U is the Flash's logo. Mm-hmm. Cyborg's is the C and can't. Mm-hmm. Superman's S is before save. The E is actually Batman's bat on the side. Wonder Woman's the W in world. And the A for alone is Aquaman's logo.
Right. Now, these are six.
Which I think you can get that on Amazon at this point.
Dude,
I'm hoping. Let me see
this.
If I can find out.
I can find this poster, something to put in my house too. If we
that
can get
one?
This, heck yeah! Not the not this exact one, guys. We're on the website that was talking about the mustache, and we got kind of trolled here.
Yeah,
they gave us the poster with the mustache, but the original one, I would like to have somewhere down here. We can put that up on our videos. But
there we go. You can't save the world alone. Shirt.
How much
on
is
Amazon?
That?
Right there, $20.
$20, not bad.
On Prime, green, gray,
black.
They have it in black. That one's actually kind of cool with all the colors. It's $12.99 for that one.
That's not bad at all.
So we may have a new shirt we got
to
get.
Mm-hmm. Should wear that to the movies.
Uh-huh. I wonder if they have it as the poster.
See, if so, we'll tell you guys how much the poster costs, too, if it's out. I'm pretty sure someone's going to make their own poster anyway.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, look at that.
$55 for that one.
Hang that right over your bed.
Print.
Yeah.
So that one we're not going to be getting.
No. We can get this for you guys can get it from Amazon if you want it.
This will be out soon.
So, yeah, well, they'll have more.
They'll have that poster out.
Yeah, we can probably get that Walmart for a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, that's what we got for Justice League right now.
Also,
the reshoots are not necessarily a bad thing. Like I said, that's the main thing to take out of this.
Also, guys, now, and this isn't really news, but it was something that popped up, and I've seen this on my timeline on Instagram and Twitter. An artist, let me give the guy his name and give him credit. Boss Logic on Twitter. Look him up. He got some good art. He gave his own little... He did really good, though. I mean, this literally looks like it's coming from DC's own creators.
Yeah, some.
That looks really well. He basically got the scene from the end pages of the Flashpoint comic book or graphic novel, whatever you guys have, the trade. And he's... brings the note back to Bruce Wayne from his father, and he opens up the letter, and he starts crying. Tears fall on it. They recreated that, so this could be what it looks like in the movie. And I literally could be, because he did great. He got their same costumes.
Yeah.
But since they did announce this, we don't know exactly what's going on. We'll give you more news once they give us some stuff for the Flashpoint. And we still don't have a director, do we?
Not yet. Oh, no, wait.
Do we have a director?
Flashpoint director?
I know he gave us Shazam director,
give
but...
Give me just a minute. We got a No, I think actually this. If there's a director for Flashpoint, then it was within like the last day.
Oh, okay.
There was a couple of news stories that popped up right at the last minute that I didn't get a chance to look all the way through. I know that one about Elongated Man that came up like 2 hours ago as of recording time.
Yeah, I just looked out because earlier today that was not up there, and I was scrolling through everything.
So under here, if anybody has it, it'll be comicbook.com. Let's find out here. Legends Tomorrow explains the villain's choice. Funko tease. Mustaches.
Mustaches.
Yeah, that's actually, I can't believe it. Superman's mustache is actually a, it's actually
it's trending.
Everywhere.
Oh, here, I got something for it. I don't see a director, though. It says, I don't like this article.
As we're Googling.
That's a terrible article. They said a Flashpoint movie is a bad idea.
Ah, okay.
I don't like that. I'm not going to even credit them for
Jeff
that.
Johns, well, here's one from comicbook.com from the July 29th. It says, Jeff Johns reveals a possible Flash director is his favorite of all time.
Hmm.
So I don't. Well, it doesn't say who it
heck
is.
Could that be?
But it's possibly one of his favorite directors of all time.
You know, there was the rumors going out that it might be one of the directors from, or the director from Back to the Future.
Oh,
do you remember hearing that?
What was his name?
It's not real. They could have talked to him, but we don't know yet.
Let me find it. Robert Zemeckis was actually one of the ones that has been thrown around for a
mm-hmm.
while.
Just because of the whole time traveling thing.
So, I don't know. It'd be interesting if they got him.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to.
I doubt it.
But that's what we had in cinematic news.
But it'd be nice to see him. Also, there was... You know there's been so much news. Did we cover the Suicide Squad?
Which one?
I did see this.
They did get a director for the... No. They had a director leave for Suicide Squad,
David Ayer.
Yeah. No. David Ayer's been gone.
Oh.
Whoever they had after him is gone, I believe, also.
Let me find that. But yeah, I'd seen that somewhere. I was like, oh, I didn't even know they had a director yet.
Yeah.
And that was, as this comes up, has lost yet another director. And let me tell you who that was. Suicide Squad movie. I'm not going to read that. Help me. Jume
Colette? Sarah? It looks like it's maybe French.
Well, he was supposed to be going to Suicide Squad, but he left, and now he went to another Disney upcoming Jungle Crisis starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, meaning he will be unavailable for the Warner Bros. Project. So we've lost yet another director. Okay. But at least this director left, not because but they didn't say if it was because of created differences or, you know, he just had time to go somewhere else and he didn't want to do it.
I don't know. Could have been scheduling conflicts, could have been many things.
So it seemed like it was more scheduling conflicts than anything, but I think that's all we have for movies right now.
The next one is actually a follow-up to a story we said a couple weeks ago, talked about how Brian Hitch is going to be leaving the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that episode number 31 is the end of his legacy arc.
Or issue number 31.
Or issue number 31, what did I say?
Episode.
Oh, well, issue number 31. I mean, they kind of like episodes. is planned to be the end of his legacy arc, and it's actually his last... It will be his last issue on Justice League.
I shouldn't be smiling for that.
No, so you shouldn't, but...
I'm sorry.
It's not... he didn't actually get fired or anything.
No.
He's just moving on to another title.
Right.
Because it looks like, as of right now, the next issue after his run is going to be issue number 32, which is for the November 1st Justice League issue, and it's actually the Metal tie-in. So you'll have plenty of people checking out Justice League to get their copy that goes with Metal.
Right.
And you'll get to see who the new writer is.
We'll be in that category.
Exactly. But we find out the new news from this is the fact that he's actually moving on to the new Hawkman Found that is being brought in as part of the Dark Knights or the Dark Matter universe.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Dark Matter imprint, they're calling it now, right?
For now. That's not the imprint. But yeah, I won't mind that. I think he might do pretty good on Hawkman. I just didn't like his work on Justice League. I hated it. It just was something about it that wasn't drawing me in.
It wasn't that it was bad stories. No. It's just I don't know if it was just his writing. Something that just didn't hold my attention.
Not for Justice League.
No. So, I don't know. I've never read anything else of his, so I can't tell you whether I like him or don't like him as a writer. I just didn't like his Justice League run myself. Right.
And the reason why I say he can do Hawkman, I mean, there's so many... Hawkman's one of those characters I feel like there's something new with him every single time they bring him out. It's like, oh, here's a new thing we didn't know. Here's nothing else we added. So whatever he wants to do.
And I'm assuming this is basically going to pick up right after the death of Hawkman story.
Yeah. And as we said, he can be reincarnated. Mm-hmm. So, or from anywhere. So wherever there's going to pick up, future, in his past, maybe. We do not know, but Hawkman will be back.
Now, on here, Hitch actually had a couple of things. He tweeted out, tweaks and edits aside, Justice League is done. Thanks for all the support. As always, we can't do it without you. He also says, remember, this was in a tweet. I have a half dozen covers to do for Justice League, Wonder Woman, and Wildstorm.
Mm.
Then it's a full-speed nosedive into Hawkman with Jeff Lemire. Going to be fun. Let's see. Then he has a couple of another quote down here from him. He was quoted as saying, that said... I'm preparing to work on stuff for after that, which is astonishing and exciting. Such a big canvas and broad scope. Hurrah! My last Justice League story, Legacy, starts soon and runs from issues 26 to 31. Proud of that, and the art of Fernando Pizarin is just bloody wonderful. He's a genius. So...
And that will all be released October 18th.
Yes. And I believe number 26, is that the one that comes out next week, or is that already out? 26 is the one that comes out next week. It's on our pull list for next week.
All right. So, I guess we're going to have to probably
we'll find out about that here in just a minute.
Figure out what's all going on with the story.
Then we got one other real news story. And this one is actually kind of cool, because I didn't realize...
Oh, yeah, this is awesome.
Bleeding Cool crunched a whole lot of numbers.
Yeah, they did. And if you look at these numbers, oh my God, he's
awesome.
A legend. I mean, he's been a legend, but even seeing these numbers just shows how solidified he is.
Well, this isn't Dan DiDio. This is DC in general.
Ah, okay.
He didn't write all these.
No, not write all of them. I thought he might have been a part of something somewhere in there for more.
Well, Dan DiDio sat down with BleedingCool.com recently and talked about all the anniversaries coming up and the idea of legacy numbering.
Yeah.
Which is what Action in DC, Detective Comics and Action were brought back to with Rebirth.
Right.
To their original numbering runs.
Right.
Including the numbers that were out of order, but it's still that number of issues.
Mm-hmm. Which, like I said, they're almost up to 1,000.
Now, Leaning Cool says, hey, Dan DiDio, I wanted to ask you about legacy numbering. Several of DC's titles are hitting milestone issues in the coming months. Now, this is, some of these are all huge.
Yeah.
The Flash is going to hit 700 issues with Volume 5, number 39.
Mm-hmm.
That's issue 39 coming up. Right now we're in issue 26, I believe, just came out.
Right. And then
so we still got a little bit to that.
Batman
is hitting 800 with issue number 35. It's Volume 3 of issue 35. Wonder Woman hits 700 issues with Volume 5, number 34. Superman is going to hit 800 issues with Volume 4, issue 34. Is there any chance these will revert to their legacy numbering for these anniversaries? Then Dan brings back, being a little bit of coy, sort of.
Very short.
Thanks for the info, and happy to say that your numbers match our calculations.
Yeah.
Which means they've been actually been working on this. They see. Oh, they you know this
they
will.
That they wouldn't be DC Comics.
Well,
if they didn't.
He says, we will be acknowledging all of these milestones in those issues, but Action 1000 is the big one.
And we've been
talking
about
that. Followed by Detective 1000 is going to be another big one.
We've been talking about that here.
Yeah. But imagine that. Actually, any comic getting to 800 issues, 700 issues.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was the Bane storyline, the Nightfall storyline that hit
500?
Batman, was that 500? It wasn't 500, it was like 700.
700, okay.
Was it during the Bane issues? And I believe the one where Bane actually broke Bruce Wayne's back was issue like number 700, I believe. It was something like that. They've done a couple of other big ones like that when they hit one of these big, huge milestones. They've had big ones. I forget which, the Death of Superman comic.
Issue number 664.
Okay, then maybe it wasn't what I thought it was.
You were close, though.
Yeah, I have a couple of the big ones like that, though, the big milestones.
Wait, this is comic, let me make sure. No, that was issue 497. Yeah, when Batman broke his back. Or Bane broke Batman's back, so... I was closer to 500.
Yeah. Oh, that's because I was thinking Detective was so much bigger. Oh,
okay.
The actual Death of Superman took place in... One of these, I know they did it as a big... it was one of the big number issues. I got to find it here. As I'm trying not to have dead air.
as we search on Google. So good.
Exactly. No, it was just Superman number 75, so...
Just 75, okay.
It was well. It would have been a lot more than that, but
yeah, if they would have kept redoing it.
If you had done the actual original, but still, these are going to be some awesome, huge issues. And luckily, most of these, except for Wonder Woman, are ones I usually pull anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to read into Wonder Woman. It's just not catching me.
Yeah, there's some. I'm not going to lie. There's some stories or some books that just don't interest me, but then some are pretty good. If you like the character for Wonder Woman, you'll love getting her books.
Yeah.
If you're not,
well, I love the character of Wonder Woman. I haven't been able. And I've been reading some of the previews and stuff, and actually reading the comic that way a little bit. And it just isn't holding me.
For me, the thing that caught me more of my interest was the way they were going back and forth. Like, this is what happened before, and here's what's going on currently.
They've stopped doing that.
But that's what reeled me in because it's something different.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big Wonder Woman collector either. I was a fan of her, but there's nothing like what's about her stories that's just defiant in every single issue to make me want to buy this every week or every month. So that's what did it for me, and since they stopped doing it, I haven't really been catching up on it except for the Wonder Woman movie when they had the whole books coming out then. Those were the last Wonder Woman books I did get. So, but hey, we're going to get more of those anyway. And she's going to be reaching hers, pretty soon too, in like, another 2 years or so?
Soon,
getting,
yeah.
Like a big legacy number. So.
But I believe that's the end of our actual news stories for this week.
Yeah.
But we do have a couple of books that we did for our reviews. One of them, I think you're going to start with Green Arrow this time.
I would say, do you want to start on Batman? Since wasn't too much going on, we can focus a little bit more on Green Arrow.
Yeah, we could do that. We actually have the issue number 27 of Batman, and it's the War of Jokes and Riddles interlude.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, there wasn't... It's interesting, because this book, for Batman, you expect to see a lot of action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
All the action scenes were done in like one splash page, and then move on to more of the dialogue.
But also, this is a Batman book, but it's more so a Joker and Riddler prequel book.
Yeah,
this is showing what happened years ago in Gotham. We already know the characters of Joker and Riddler, so we're going to break it down into a little bit more of their psyche. And there's not that much excitement going on.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bad things that's happening, a lot of sick, twisted things that's going on, but not.
But
a lot
it's nothing
of
that's actually for to keep us really super interested.
Yeah.
There is kind of an interesting one here. Is the first page you got a guy in a bar trying to just talk to the bartender in general. You see Batman, the shadow of Batman, walking in the door.
And by the way, the guy
and the bar starts clearing out behind him.
And the guy's making a paper plane. That's going to be one actually, big thing
because
about
the because
the
end
character.
Of this book, it does actually make this book worthy, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You see a guy talking, just talking about how he studied the wind in school. And right. that's mainly what it is, all the stuff about the wind. As Batman's walking up to him from behind, the bar behind him kind of becomes empty.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really Batman's quick. In here, we're leaving.
Then you switch, and you see
a gargoyle.
A gargoyle, and the guy is hanging upside down from the gargoyle, or in front of the gargoyle, saying, there's a way to contact the Joker, find it. Then you see that same guy talking to Deadshot.
Yeah.
On top of and Deadshot's and he's talking about how he this guy used to worked on Joker's Jokermobile back in the day and the aerodynamics. He's the only guy that worked on it that's still alive, and all of these things. And Deadshot holds him, hands him a cigarette, and says, "Here, hold this."
Yeah.
And that he's still talking, and Deadshot says, "Just a little bit higher." And as the guy is still just talking, telling him about how he knows the Joker and stuff, Deadshot shoots him.
Yep.
Shoots the cigarette and shoots the guy.
Barely, he grazed him.
Yeah, just caught him on the side of the head.
He was shooting the cigarette just to prove something, but he got a little graze on his face.
Uh-huh.
Then this is where he starts telling the number.
Then
got.
You get back to yeah. Then you get back to the
Batman.
I believe that's the Batman in, yeah. in this guy.
And he's saying how you got the numbers from Lawson, the untraceable. They're useless. So you're going to call him. And you're going to set up a meeting. When you do, I will be there.
Exactly. So then you get the guy sitting. On the phone, watching a news program, which actually these two people on the news program are in this book multiple times.
Mm-hmm. I think they're news reporters for Gotham, something like
probably.
That.
Probably. Are they doing Gotham news commentary?
Or something, yeah. Now I'm thinking about The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But Joker's on the phone talking to him. He says, "You're the man with the name from the comics." And then he says, "Yeah, Mr. Joker, me, Charles Brown, Chuck, really. But I'm glad you remember. It's so nice." And as they're talking, he says, "Do you read the comics? They were fun." And he's like, "Well, okay."
You know what comics they're talking about, right?
Charlie Brown, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's the Peanuts comics,
right?
Which is funny because they're making the reference here without making the reference,
right? And then he says, "I don't think they're funny anymore. Do you think they're funny?" Because remember, guys, this whole story is about Joker trying. Joker lost his smile. He's trying to get his smile back.
No exactly.
That's when the first issue is just killing random people for whatever reason. Like maybe I'll get a laugh. So he hasn't been able to laugh for the last. It's been two or three issues now. Two? This is the third one, right?
Give me a minute, I'll find out. You keep going and I'll find where it is in here.
Well, he's telling him the show's not funny anymore, and the guy's getting. Charles, Chuck, is getting confused. Like, I don't understand. What are you talking about funny? He says, "Now, nine cats are on a boat. One jumps off into a river. How many are left?" They wait. "None. They're copycats. It's a joke. Is it a joke or is that a riddle?" And he's like, "What?" And I like that because this is where it's now coming into. Jokers are even beginning to realize. And people for years, I remember going to high school and everybody would get the Joker and Riddler confused.
Yeah.
It's like one has question marks. I know that was the Riddler. Then one is a clown. That's the Joker. But people just looking at them are like, I don't know who's the different. Which one? Jokes and riddles, aren't they similar? And in here, this book is actually touching on that because he's asking him about this little. I thought this was a riddle at first, but then it's like it can be funny as a joke.
Yeah.
And as this goes by, Charlie's outside with his son, and his son says, "Hell yeah, the kite's getting up in the sky." He's like, "Son, don't use that word." He's like, "Why not?" People that use that word usually start going more and more into bad words, and that goes down on a path of bad. Bad things can happen. And so he tells his son not to repeat that again, and he says, "So Charlie, I'm sorry that." So I'm guessing his son's name Charlie, too. "I'm sorry, but I can't go to your party on Saturday. I'm really sorry. Talk to your mom. We're going to get something next weekend. You know, if I could come, I would, but I can't. I have a meeting." And his
well, the interesting
says,
thing is that teasing for the end of the book and foreshadowing,
mm-hmm.
Charlie here is flying a kite.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we've seen Charles, or Chuck, making a paper plane, right. And his son is now flying a kite.
Right. And as now he's leaving out the diner, Chuck is, there's a big guy in an orange shirt standing right outside, and he's just humming a song, Charles is, not paying attention to the guy behind him. The guy behind him starts turning to like this mud clay thing. It becomes Clayface, of course.
Yeah, Clayface sucks him in.
Yeah, absorbs
and
him.
And then turns back into a guy and keeps walking.
Yep, got him.
Which is cool, because this is, usually, we expect to see Clayface in Detective. He's
right.
part of the team.
Right.
But in this one, showing how Clayface is still part of the team, even though this is Batman comic, not
right.
Detective.
Right. This is a prequel before everything even happened, I think, in Detective.
Mm-hmm.
Now he brings him to the Riddler, since there's so, as we said before, guys, in a couple of issues before, the whole Gotham crime circuit has divided themselves.
Oh, yeah, I didn't actually catch that. This is, yes. So this one, Clayface isn't kidnapping this guy for Batman this time.
No, he's kidnapping him.
He's actually working
for Riddler.
Right.
Riddler has his own team, like I said, Clayface, and I don't have the other book with me.
The previous issues actually showed who's on what team.
Right. Picture all of Batman's rogue, thank you, there's the word, rogues gallery. They all divide each other. Half of them are with Joker, the other half is Riddler.
Well, you have to choose a side.
You have to.
That's what the news commentators were saying also, that all these murders are happening. The city is going nuts right now. We need to choose a side. This war needs to end.
Right.
So one of them has to win.
And out of curiosity, which team would you choose? Just curious.
I wouldn't do either one myself.
I wouldn't either.
But,
I'm too afraid to die.
I would say Riddler's a little more of a known quantity, maybe.
I would say Riddler, too, because here's the thing about Riddler.
Riddler's crazy, but he's not psychotic and Joker crazy.
Right, because see, here's the thing. Riddler can keep the names and numbers of people that he had working for him, but he's not like, oh, I can use them again. I'm not going to kill them just because I want to kill them.
Joker will kill you just because...
Oh, I had your number in my call.
To kill you.
I thought it'd be funny just to come to your house and
someone
have you
needs
whack.
To die. Let's do it.
Right. Well, anyways, he brings in the Riddler and he says, "Yes, I'm here." And he says, "Your name's Charlie Brown." He's like, "Yes, my name's Charlie Brown. You have a son named Charlie Brown." "Yes, that's my son's name." And he lives with his mother. And he's like, "Yes, an apartment 37G. Yes, good. Now tell me about the meeting you made with the Joker."
Exactly.
Another night, he's back. He loves this bar.
This is his home bar.
If somebody was looking out for me like this, one, I guess I would leave my family alone so they wouldn't know where I live. But if everybody knows, kind of too late. Two, I wouldn't be keep going out to the bar just like, casual drinking. No, people are looking for you, dude.
Yeah.
And right now, the bar is empty because, well, I think too many people have came in there. And
everybody knows what's going on here.
So he says, hey. Then he starts repeating to the bartender about the joke or riddle that he told him about the 9 cats on the boat. And he tells him the punchline. He says, but hey, is that a joke or a riddle, right? And I guess it's more like, well, I guess there's no difference. Jokes, riddles, they're all the same. Or it just is everything. I think at this point he's had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And now he's talking more and more, rambling on about the wind. Then you see Batman come through again.
Yeah, this whole story just kind of bounces around into what's happening with this guy. In the next one, you actually get the meeting between him and Joker, except for now Batman showed up at the meeting. Riddler showed up at the meeting. There was a giant fight, and it's all just one big splash page with Joker saying good grief and dragging Charlie out.
Now, just before we get to the...
That is all the action. It's one big splash page with everybody on it.
And that's it. Now, as we said before, he had a meeting with Batman. Batman told him to make a meeting with the Riddler. Then Riddler...
Joker.
With the Joker. Then Riddler found out and said, you're having a meeting with the Joker. Now I want a meeting. So he's having about 3 different meetings, and he tried to... Chaos happened. As Ken said, he drags him off. Joker, good grief. Drags him back to his home, sits on the couch with him. It's a quiet silence for a couple panels. Then he just confesses, starts crying. I would start crying, too, if Joker's sitting this close next to me.
And it's weird, because Joker's sitting there with a grumpy look on his face, like,
I can't believe you did all this. He's like, Batman had me do it. He set up the meeting, but then Riddler found out about the meeting. I told him in the meeting. Then the Batman found out about the meeting with Riddler. And then I told Batman again about the meeting. And then everyone was there. And then Joker just says, it's almost funny. And I start laughing when he started crying because, like, dude, you can't get anything right. You just keep messing up. And it's like, Joker's like, you know what? I kind of feel bad for you, so I'm not going to kill you. Luckily, for now. Well, this is where it all goes downhill.
This is actually a funny joke from the Riddler, somewhat.
Somewhat. What happens
for the Joker,
nice.
This is a funny joke.
Yeah, so this is where... Batman gets him again, and he says, your son is safe, as promised. He's got a cold, but he'll be fine. But you have to tell me, where did Joker take you? And then he pulls back his vest and his button-up.
He's got a suicide bomb.
Yeah.
And he says, suicide vest.
I'm really sorry, Batman. He made me do it. He clicks it, and he says...
Nothing happens.
Right. He says it goes, ha-ha, thump. No.
Well, no, it says, it's supposed to, the Joker said if I didn't, and then something starts saying, what goes, ha-ha, thump? A man laughing his head off. And then Charles is there saying, wait, I don't get it. And then every time he clicks it, the joke repeats itself.
Right. What goes ha-ha thump? A man laughing his head off. What goes thump? A man laughing his head off. Click, click, click.
So the joke was that the Joker never actually activated the bomb.
Right. As he sometimes doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if it's days later that same night, but it says the city is dead. And on the screen you get Firefly... Mr. Freeze and Scarecrow all fighting each other. Frank, you're being Or what does this say? Historic. No. Historic is to pretend that what's happening isn't happening, and then these crimes and these criminals are making Gotham City their own little war zone. Yes, I agree, obviously, but just because it's right now, that doesn't mean it's dead. Let me guess, Batman is going to be Batman, going to fix everything. I'm not saying he fixes everything, no, but what's the another option? Batman, please. Bill, please. And then he gets a ring on his phone. He picks it up and says, you might as well pray to the wind. Riddle me this. I love to dance and twist and prance. I shake my tail as away I sail. I fly high into the sky. What am I?
Then you switch to a page of Charles being interrogated by Batman now.
Well, actually, no, he's not being interrogated by Batman. They met up, and now he's grabbing Batman and begging him, it looks like.
Yeah, to save his son.
Mm-hmm.
He says he found the Joker knew that he was going to be Charles was going to betray him. So before it all happened, back when Charles and his son were flying a kite, the Joker had actually put poison on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
So and Batman was protecting this guy's son and was keeping him safe. He says, "I need to see my son and know he's alive." Then you see that he's in the hospital with the kid, and the kid's saying, "Dad, did I just say something bad? I said that word, the one you're not supposed to say. I said it again." He says, "Don't worry about that, Charlie. Everything's going to be fine. Does it mean, am I going to that other place now?" And he says, no. As
he begs, "Please no, not my little boy. Please no."
Exactly.
And this is where it got really sad to me. I'm like, man, that took a turn.
Yeah.
And now they're outside on...
rooftop.
I thought he was going to jump when I...
That's what I thought this was, because you got Batman sitting behind Charlie, and Charles is
flying
actually...
everywhere.
Just sitting with his feet dangling off the rooftop.
Yeah. I mean, Batman could grab him anyway if he was, but I never thought he was about to say, "Nope, I'm done. My son's dead." And it says, "I'll catch him, Brown. I swear the Riddler is done here."
So it looks like his son actually died.
Yeah. He says, "There will be vengeance." And then he says, Charlie says, "This way, that way." Then he goes here. It just gets worse. Frank, I think this is the news going on.
Yeah, this is going back to the news people.
Frank is still going on. "Where's your Batman now? He's helping. He's setting out for the streets. He's helping it get worse," is what the other person says.
Mm-hmm.
"On all honesty, I see... it's a war out there, and it needs to be over and needs to be won. It needs to take someone." I'm sorry. "We need to take sides. Gotham needs to take a side." And this is what you were going back talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
"What are we supposed to do, Frank? Send arms to the Riddler, and we're supposed we have a leadership and supposed to decide. We want safety. Someone has to win. So let's pick a winner. And we want the Joker gone, and we help the Riddler. We want the Riddler gone, and we help the damn Joker. We don't want neither one to win, but we have to help somebody so we can get this over with."
Exactly, and while they're doing that, you see Charlie building something.
Look how
and then at the end of it, well, at the bottom of this, you get to see Charlie has built a hang glider.
Oh, man.
Then you get Joker at his house, wearing just an apron, holding a knife like he was in the kitchen cooking.
I don't think he was cooking, though. I really don't.
I don't know.
You know, see some red spots on that.
And Joker says straight up when he enters the door, "Is this a joke?" And you see Kite Man standing outside of the door.
Hey, Joker pauses. He looks like Kite Man. Then Kite Man says, "Hell yeah." Just like what his son was saying.
Uh-huh.
So that was
so it's basically
one.
Just an origin for Kite Man.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty good. Although we do get it's a little bit of a mention. I'm not going to go over this. But you do get a quick little glimpse preview into
what's
going on.
Yeah, you get like a 4-page preview of the Mr. Miracle comic, or 3-page preview of Mr. Miracle number 1.
So if you guys have this issue of Batman, what is this? Batman issue number 27?
Is this the Mr. Miracle?
Mm-hmm.
Tom King, art by Mitch Gerads. Tell me that doesn't almost... by the way this is done with the black panel and all this, it looks like Deathstroke. Looks like the Deathstroke comics by the way it's laid out. Hand me not that Deathstroke. Do you have one of the other Deathstrokes out in front of you?
No.
I'm trying to think. No.
The one I think I know, the ones previously before.
Yeah, the older one.
Yeah,
the older Rebirth Deathstrokes. Let me see that one. That one might have the
possibly
same feel, but I don't think so.
You know what? They do have the same feel. Now, you're right.
This is somewhere there, but it's not as, because remember the original Rebirth Deathstrokes had one panel at a time,
mm-hmm,
straight across the page, just like this. This has the chapter titles.
Actually, go a little forward. I can help you out here.
This one has the chapter titles, but it's not the same.
Yeah. Similar, though.
So, yeah.
So, I don't know if the same writer. I'm just looking at the writer.
But Mr. Miracle's going to be interesting. It's a totally different look than what I'm expecting.
Yeah, it is. I wasn't expecting it to look this grim, is a word I should
yeah,
use.
Yeah, gritty. The colors are washed out back and forth between it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost like it sketches.
It looks like he's broken. That's the way I'm interpreting this. It might change completely over.
Well,
once
yeah, and this one, Scott,
Mr.
is supposed
Miracle.
To be... broken, I believe.
And it looks like Big Barda is giving him a lot of heat.
Yeah.
For Orion and everything else. But we got a glimpse of Mr. Miracle, Orion, and Big Barda all in the same mm-hmm. little three-page preview, which is always yeah. a good thing to know.
And with
they're going to be in
Mr.
the story.
Miracle coming out, I believe in, what, 2 weeks, I think? Is it 2 or 3 weeks now? When we get to our previews, we actually do have a New Gods book coming out next week.
We do. It just says in August, so we don't yeah. know when in August, but... August will be in a couple days.
So next up, we actually have Green Arrow number 27.
Yeah, this was great. I love seeing Green Arrow work with the other Justice League members because
yeah.
he's always been working with Black Canary.
Well, we had 2 issues of him with Flash.
Right.
Wasn't
Wait,
it?
No,
was
one,
it one
issue,
or two?
Just one. Because it's right.
Okay. Yeah, it's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
So we had one issue of Green Arrow with Flash. Now we got Green Arrow with Wonder Woman. Then mm-hmm. from here, at the end of this book, we'll see that we're going to have another team
Superman.
Up next week. So it's
just
we're doing a
them.
Series of Green Arrow team-ups right now.
Right. Well, and here, they're in Washington, D.C., in the last book, we seen Flash and Green Arrow taking down the Ninth Circle and Black Hole.
Yes.
Well, it led them to Washington, D.C., and I love how...
Which I think is possibly the next target for the Ninth Circle.
Right, and I love how when they're opening up the door... It's a rattle, rattle, ring, ding, ding. Then he just breaks it through, punches it, or kicks it down. And then Flash tells Green Arrow, you know, I could have vibrated through the door. You didn't have to break it
yeah,
down.
Yeah, just unlocked it.
Right. He's like, Flash is my mission.
I do things my way.
Just thought that was funny. Well, they look like they're in a lab. And the Ninth Circle, or, what is this, Ninth Circle? Yeah, like Ninth Circle was slaughtered everybody in that office. And it says smeared on the wall in blood, no peace for America with an upside down flag. And they're going over their thing, trying to figure out some things that
well,
might
yeah,
happen.
The office here, though, is the office of... Give me just a second. It says right here, it's actually a lobbying group in Washington named... a lobbying organization that enables capital.
Might be on the next page.
It's something of peace. I'm not seeing it right... I know it's right here.
If we see it, we'll get back to it.
Yeah, Oh, I know it's right here. Because I read it.
Anywhere up there?
Oh, there's a couple of... See, now this is good podcasting. I should have had this written down.
We got to take notes when we were reading the books. I think we need to start doing that.
Yeah, I know. That would make things a lot easier. Anti-war group. Millions in advertising.
Of course, being a bigger organization, they have the millions. Mm-hmm. I think to why they were being hit, actually. Why they're going out after them, slaughtering whoever works for them. But, yeah, they're in the lab, and they're checking all the bodies and everything. And Green Arrow, of course, is done
it's
got to
be a little later
work.
On or something.
Yeah, and he's doing all his little detective work. But then he just stops and thinks to himself, this is a public figure and everything. Case in point, they've been hosted by a piece of summit and a board of Trans-Pacific Railways investigating all these celebrities and entourage media attention. And then they get assassinated by the Middle Easterns. And who else would have the criminal... diplomatic efforts. They do the entourage, their war, their $1 trillion industry. Basically saying everything's tied in. Everything the media wants you to believe are all tied in for a reason. Don't believe
well,
the
yeah.
propaganda. Well, we all know that Green Arrow's always been like that in his past. He's always been that real hard-on American little man, low-class helper. Especially when he lost his billions, as what's going on in this story right now. And he says, you know what, Flash, aren't you like a forensic scientist or something? Shouldn't we be able to get this going on the road here? So Flash... does his thing in about probably 5 seconds or less. He gets everything and says, I dusted, swabbed, and collected all the samples. All I need to do is run back to the ballistics tests and call the cops for now, and I'll head back to Star Labs in Central City. And Arrow says, be back in a flash? Question mark? Barry says, well, I might be the fastest man alive, but physics, that, and chemistry, they all operate in real time, so it's going to take a while before I can give you the true answers, but I am going to have it back to you as soon as I know. And then we go to the arms vendor showcase, Pentagon Hotel in Washington, D.C. Pentagon Hotel in D.C.
The Patton Hotel.
Thank you, Patton Hotel.
Like General Patton?
Oh, jeez. Okay. That makes sense. And it looked like it's a general talking to... Now, is this a news reporter he was talking to? I didn't know, in the red dress? Or something?
It could be.
Actually, is this...
No, it's a senator.
Yeah, is this the senator that's going to pop up later?
It says Senator Wicket.
Okay. So this later one. He's talking to a senator, and they're discussing everything that's been going on. The industries don't fight no more, and they're supposed to, but they hide and sneak and plan instead of being, I guess, real frontline people they should be. And the head of everything. And it's this guy in this suit that's just, you know, look like he's being showcased, and they got bullets on him. It's like this high-tech suit with a knife and a gun on him. And he's going over saying how this is a model from one of our longest time contractors and the CEO. So they thought this was a model. They didn't think there was a real person inside of this.
Yeah.
Turns out, as they're still talking, the guy starts to move a little bit, picks up the gun on his arm, aims at him. It's like a 50 caliber machine gun, and it just shoots and goes right through him. And the senator that was by him did not get touched at all. Blood splattered on her, but he flies off in his suit and gets away. And then this is Green Arrow talking his own dialogue, saying the Knife Circle might be a hellish cabal whose members are found in ancient rites and peacemakers, but their motivation is clear and simple: profit and control. So he shoots them, of course, because he's Green Arrow. He gets him and shoots him in the shoulder while he's up in the air, takes him down, and now he's ready to interrogate him, as Green Arrow does. He goes over to him as he lands, and he says, "Here's the deal. I will stop hurting you once you start talking. You know what I mean?" Just as he's getting ready to push the arrow in deeper on the guy, he gets grabbed up by his arrow harness, and it's Wonder Woman. As he says, "This is not how we do things around here." Throws him to the side and basically skips him in the, where is this, the Washington Monument?
Yeah, and it's in the reflecting pool at the on the mall in front of the Washington Monument, and Wonder Woman kind of threw him like a skipping stone.
Mm-hmm. And he just goes, skip, 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 skip.
How'd then, that go again?
Skip, 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 skip. And this is when Green Arrow says, "You know, you're on the same side, right?" And she says, "No, I know we're both heroes, but heroes do not torture or kill anyone. We always do this in a different way." He says, "I didn't kill anyone. And you don't need, and I don't need to hear your moralizing quote, Wonder Woman. Or moralizing speech, Wonder Woman. Don't you find it ironic that all of the people that might accuse me of moralizing?" And then he says, "I might be a liberal loudmouth, but you and that Boy Scout are always going over these morals and these guides and all this stuff. It's kind of gross."
Yeah.
And then he says, "I guess that the prince," and then once he's still talking, she starts blocking him with her bracelets. And then he says, "Don't worry, Diane, I got this." And she says, "Faster than a speeding bullet," and the other guy, "but faster than a speeding arrow, I am that." So before he shoots him, she grabs the arrow and just punches the guy. And by doing so, he picks up like his something on his wrist, and it's basically a flash grenade, and he disappears, and now he's gone. And then we go to one of the Ninth Circle head whatever.
He's actually watching from a distance, because if you look, he's actually looking through his
binoculars there. But I was trying to figure out, he is somebody of high importance, or you think just another goon?
Well, yeah, that's why he's so scarred up.
Oh, okay. Well, as this happens, now Green Arrow's mad, like, "You know, Princess, I love strong women, but it would be kind of nice if they weren't always kicking my ass."
Yeah.
So, once again, he tries to get to the point of something and find out what's going on with the Ninth Circle. Another superhero interferes and stops him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are beneath Star City, and this is where the Ninth Circle's been holding a lot of different prisoners, taking them captive, maybe wanting to recruit them or just torture them for means of who knows what slavery. We have no idea, but people are missing.
Yeah.
Now, in the last book we had, what was the little sister's name?
Emiko.
Emiko. And Black
Canary. You read this more than I do, and I
I want to call her Speedy. I'm just like, Speedy. She's going to just let her be Speedy already. All I see is Speedy here. But Emiko and Black Canary. They're under, they're in disguise, going into Ninth Circle as they were discussing last
week. Yeah, they're getting ready to, is there's people being sold to the underground men.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, being in slavery, captivity, whatever they're doing to them could be even worse. Well, they break out, they beat them up, and they free everybody, and they say, "Ladies, follow us out to safety." And, of course, you get a sonic scream going on here, taking everybody out from Black Canary. Emiko's doing her little thing, and she's just smiling like, "I'm working with Black Canary."
Yeah.
And they say everything's okay, and let's make the enemy think that we won, but then go for all. Critical hit, and that's what Green Arrow would do. So just a little story to show you what's going on with Black Canary and Emiko. Now we get Green Arrow and Wonder Woman again, and now he's being tied up by the Lasso of Truth.
I love how all of the bubbles while he's tied up with the lasso are all in yellow, all of his.
Right, letting you know, hey, he's being tied up right now. And he says, I did not kill Wendy Poole.
I am not a murderer.
Right. And then she says, anything else you'd like to share? He says, I remember the time and I hit you and you hit me back. Your jaw.
No, she hit on him.
Oh.
Or he hit, oh. He hit on her.
I missed that when I
remember that
this.
Time she fills in, hit on me.
Uh-huh.
And you hit back.
And your jaw healed up quite nicely. I never apologized to you. It's rare to hear an honest apology. He says, yeah, I've been doing that lately. Without the encouragement of this lasso of truth. She says, no, I'm sorry too. I shouldn't have considerate this. I should have been more considerate to you and treat you not like an enemy, but more as a partner. And always that you know you're careless and deciding unapologetic. And he's like, I get it. Let's get up now.
Exactly.
You don't gotta rub it in. And they're talking about how the world's changed violently, and Green Arrow has always been up to helping the little guy, but for something more of those rich boys in fantasy, I was like one of those politicians who are empathic, talking point while serving himself behind the scenes. And right now, when I was reading this, I was seeing a lot of Mayor Quinn coming out more than anything else, because he was rich. He has lost his billions.
Yeah.
Now he knows how it feels to be more of the little guy. She says, Oliver Queen had to go back to hell and back and understand what it was to be called and mean to be a victim and to be a pawn in a deadly game that is being played by a deadly power. And he says, well, we're not all born a hero, Diana. And then they start going on more, especially how they love Americans and, you know, get a little bit more political. But I did love this end part. Never chained to the past or imminent by the future, a country is consistent of rebirth. And that's what they're going on right now in their titles.
Yeah, well, it says that this country, they're talking about America.
Right.
Why they love Americans, you're always this is Wonder Woman saying why she loves Americans, you're always reinventing yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then never chained to the past or intimidated by the future, a country of constant rebirth.
Mm-hmm. And now you get that senator that was with the governor or the...
That was with the general.
Yeah, and that got... and got killed. Now she's going back and telling everything she went over and the issues that are at hand here. And then she says the senator is up on stage and she needs to be protected, which means we need to save the peace. As they keep going on... And thanks, Nico, by the way.
Oh, is Nico watching?
Yeah, he's watching. We should keep our eyes sharp and make sure no one attacks the... especially the Ninth Circle, which more likely will be the Ninth Circle that attacks.
Yeah.
And she says, some of you already know this, but I saw two men die at the hands of someone last night. The two men who didn't align with the politics and the friends who I considered them as friends. And today I learned that the group of peace are being barged by also being murdered. And then as they keep looking on, now they see the same guy. He doesn't have a name yet, but the guy that was wearing the suit from earlier that shot the general that was with the senator pops out of the Washington Monument. And this is when they go to attack. And, of course, Wonder Woman gets there and no problem. She gets there real fast.
Yeah.
And as the senator's still talking, she doesn't know what's going on. Says, we've made a noble effort for democracy, and we've also had time taking over. And then you get the people out in the crowd talking. Green Arrow gets his other arrow, tries to shoot and help Wonder Woman, but Wonder Woman grabs this, like, bazooka or something that was getting shot at them, flings it off into the other part of the sky, and as this is happening, Green Arrow comes down, swoops up the senator before the building part of the building crashes on her, and of course, they look more and more as a hero again. But $35 billion now, or sorry, $35 billion in lives within 25 miles radius of Washington. All this is going on, and there are over 2,000 DC residents worth 30 mile or more. Guess why?
Jeez, getting blown up.
Well, that's just and all Wonder Woman says is wow. He goes on this little speech of how the truth and the propaganda, there's only honor, there is no profit. This country shouldn't be treated like a fortress or a business. This is supposed to be an icon, become a beacon of hope, a hero among nations.
Yeah, basically they...
with the American flag in the background, by the way.
They stopped the Ninth Circle from taking out this senator and causing all these problems, and then Ollie finds himself in front of an open microphone.
Mm-hmm. And then as this is all going on... the Ninth Circle are now driving the senator away. And she's saying, drive, drive, dear God, I almost died. I almost got killed back there. And another voice says, you're supposed to be in front of everyone. You are you. You can't kill me. I've done everything you've asked, is what she says. And it's one of the members of the Ninth Circle with a burnt face talking to her. And he, I don't know what happens here, but as he's saying, I am. She says, I'm a senator because of you, and I'm here to service you. And he says, we built you up to burn you down. And all we see happens is like there's a spark on his wrist while he's holding her face, and all you see is light light up the whole vehicle. So I'm pretty sure the senator is not looking the same. Excuse me. And then as they're dealing with the guy that was in that suit, they pull off his mask, and it's once again another Ninth Circle member. But when they pull off the suit, the guy has a badge on from LexCorp. So now Wonder Woman and Ollie see that working together wasn't too bad. They shake each other's hand, and she says, you know, for someone with all this political agenda that you might have, you should run for office. And maybe you should change your costume from being green to red, white, and blue. He says, you wear it better, princess. But she says, so do you really think Lex Luthor has something to do with the Ninth Circle? Well, he goes to Metropolis, and he's talking about how the Ninth Circle is a powerhouse that centers most of 1% of criminals or another super criminals in a bigger organization. But I have no doubt that they are going into business with one of the fastest cats of them all. Or fast cats of them all. Lex Luthor at LexCorp.
Exactly.
And next issue is called The Suicide Virus, and this is in Metropolis, so we're either going to get Superman Lex Luthor come in, and Superman come, the real one, or we might just get Lex Luthor next one.
I think it's just going to be Lex Luthor for this one.
I would love to see him and Superman team up. Maybe one after this, but he will be getting help from some man with an S on his chest.
That's right. So the next issue will be The Suicide Virus, and that will be Arrow number... What number was this one? This one was...
That's going to be 28.
It will be Arrow number 28 in 2 weeks, which actually, that's the perfect start of what we got coming up next. Because it is definitely time for...
A visit.
And that sound can mean only one thing. It's time for our comic shop pull list for this week, for August 2nd. Well, I don't know why I can't get that right.
You know, 2017. We're getting to the end of July, so happens.
Well, this week, as every week, the comic shop pull list is brought to you by the Shazbots. That was their song, The Comic Shop. Go over to iTunes and Facebook. Check them out.
Spotify too.
They're on Spotify also, you said. Or go to theshazbots.com. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you, and just check them out. We have 8 books on the list for Rebirth for this week.
Yeah, and we just...
And one honorable mention.
Yes, an honorable mention we're going to save for last, of course.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure everyone should go out and get that book if they're fans of anything.
Well, especially things that are coming up. We will find out here in a minute. But the first one, we just got done with Green Arrow number 27. So, what's going to happen in Green Arrow number 28?
Well, as we said, we're going to Metropolis, and the whole title of this series right now have been Hard Traveling Hero. But this is part 3. Metropolis is Oliver Queen's next stop on his quest to take down the Ninth Circle. But he may be too late when an evil franchise starts war with one of...
No, evil financiers.
Thank you. Evil financiers start a war with one of... With the one man in the city they can't buy. Lex Luthor. That's more of a fat cats than even Oliver Queen can handle. Which means that this is a job for Superman and Green
Arrow. Oh, you were right. But we got Superman and Lex Luthor.
The thing is, Lex Luthor's also called Superman.
Kind of, sort of. I think we're going to get the real Superman
here. Let's see who's starring in it. Yeah, see, it says Lex Luthor and Green Arrow at the very bottom.
Huh.
So, we'll see what goes on. But a Superman will be helping him, and the art is done by Juan Ferreira and written by Benjamin Percy.
Okay.
And this is another one that we did.
The other one we did. Batman number 27. Well, in Batman number 28, we get the War of Jokes and Riddles part 4. War is hell. Unless it's in Gotham City. Where it's so much worse. The clash between the Joker and the Riddler continues to escalate, with the rest of the city's villains picking sides and joining in. In the midst of the battle, Batman must try to save whoever he can while knowing he will forever be haunted by those he can't. Art is done by Mikel Janin, and it's written by Tom King.
The next one we have on our list is Cyborg issue number 15. Now this one looks really good. because of who's in it. Aftermath Part 2. Anomaly's horrific dream is realized when the OTAC virus changes nearly all flesh and blood on Earth into a cold hard steel. Now humanity's last hope, Cyborg and Beast Boy, and a band of rebels led by Vic's mother, Eleanor Stone, embark on a suicide mission to find a cure. Their first obstacle? The infected super scientist Doc Mangus and his newly twisted robot army of metal men.
Oh, the metal men.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Magnus. I didn't even know. Yeah, Doc Magnus.
Yep.
And the metal men. The last time we saw the metal men was actually in that Legends of Tomorrow anthology book.
Yeah,
they were
along there with Firestorm and Metamorpho, right?
Yeah, they are. The metal men are fun.
Yeah, they are.
They all have great personalities for each one of them, have a little different personality, even though they're all androids.
I think DC started putting out a line of toys and you had to buy each one of them. That was too much. I wasn't able to get it at the time. Well, the art's done by Will Conrad. Can't words today.
Both of us are having that issue.
Yeah. Written by John Simber Jr.
Okay. And you get the next one. That's got to be Dr. Light. Wait a minute. Let me see here.
That's Dr. Light. Yeah, that's Dr.
Is
Light.
That, okay. That's what it looks like on the cover.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Deathstroke issue number 22, Defiance Part 2. With his new team assembled, Deathstroke takes a team Defiance onto their first mission to retake control of the U.S. Embassy holds hostage in a small foreign city. Small foreign country.
How about a U.S. Embassy held hostage in a small foreign country?
What you just said. But while the team has his fights over for their lives against the mysterious new villain known as the...
wait a minute. The Radiant Man?
Yeah.
That looks just like Dr.
That's
Light.
That's Dr. Light.
I guess not. Oh, no, wait. Down on the bottom. Okay, here we go.
Oh, okay.
As they fight for their lives against the mysterious new villain known as the Radiant Man, Slade abandons his team to address some unfinished business with an old friend, Dr. Light. So Dr. Light is in this.
And ours done by Jason Pez, Jurgen Neves?
Diogenes
Neves, and written by Christopher Priest.
Okay.
So...
This is interesting with Deathstroke and his own version of the Titans, basically.
Right, and the only one they have starring here, we don't know who's all going to be in there except for Deathstroke. That's the only one they say is going to be featured.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the next one is Green Lanterns number 28. Now, in the last issue of Green Lanterns, you did read it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Simon and Jessica. Ring has been destroyed, and Jessica is the only one left, and they're both stranded somewhere where they can't find anybody. They're 20 billion years in the past.
Yeah, did you like the little lantern, the panel with the birds taking Simon, then the big cat comes out of nowhere?
Yeah, out of nowhere.
I don't know why that was like my favorite.
But at the end of the book, a bunch of, like, six other lanterns decided to start showing up.
Now, do you think those are the lanterns that happened
I think those are the original
ago.
Seven lanterns.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Well, we'll find out right here, because in issue number 28, Out of Time Part 2, Simon and Jessica go from basic training on Mogo to training some of the first first beings in the universe to wear green rings. Trapped in the past, the Green Lanterns of Earth must rally the first seven lanterns to defeat a threat that could destroy the cosmos. Art is done by Julio Ferreira and Eduardo Panisca, and it's written by Scott Humphreys. Are you counting up how many are there? Is there seven coming in?
Yep.
Seven. Okay.
I was trying to read also.
The original seven are all there.
Cover for next week. Or this week, actually. Next we have, and this goes back to another one
we talked about. It a little bit, yeah.
Justice League issue number 26. Legacy Part 1. A group of heroes from a post-apocalyptic future escape into the past to stop their world from coming to be. But to do this, they are going to need help from the Justice League, who just happen to be these time travelers' parents. You know what? Let me look at this.
Wait
cover
a minute.
Now.
Yeah, let me look up the. Let's pick up this cover.
Yeah, that's right. That looks like Wonder Woman. Is that Wonder Woman Superman's son?
I don't know. It looks like it could be.
Then you got.
You got like a young Flash or girl that could be Flash on the bottom.
Let me get to another photo here.
Yeah, let me open this up in a new tab and look at this cover.
We just realized this, guys. We didn't have no idea about this. We didn't read what the synopsis
there is a
was
really
be.
Good high resolution picture of this, but. Yeah, it looks like we're getting the Justice League of the future in this, or a Justice League of a future.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's Green Lantern. Who's the redhead?
Where at? On the bottom?
Yeah.
That could be...
I'm not getting a good picture like what you just pulled up.
Like I said, that could be Flash's daughter?
Maybe. Well, like Flash's daughter's the one cropped down with the goggles on. There's two more here.
I don't know then.
Hmm.
We'll have to find out next week. We may have to pick this one up and read through this one.
I'm definitely picking this one up. Well, he said this was going to be a couple of his last runs. So.
Well, the art for this one is done by Eau Claire Albert and Fernando Passerin.
And, of course, written by Brian Hitch.
This is the beginning of the final run for Brian Hitch for this book.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we get Nightwing number 26, The Spiral Part 1. Now, in this, remember, Huntress, back when, before Rebirth, Huntress was actually the person in charge of Spiral.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what they called her in that, but...
I don't remember either.
She was the leader of Spiral. It says, Huntress comes back into Nightwing's life at his lowest moment. But is she here to help him find the man who killed one of Dick's closest allies? Or is she here to carry out a mission of her own? Art is done by Javier Fernandez, and it's written by Tim Seeley. Now, also in the last issue of Nightwing, where they're talking about him at his lowest, his girlfriend just broke up with him. What was her name? Defacer, Oh, I forget her real name. But she had just broke up with him at the end of the last book.
Okay, I didn't read the
And book. He actually just got a brand new job working in the casinos as a dealer.
Okay. As Dick Grayson?
Dick Grayson.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
I haven't been picking up the Nightwing issues. I think the last one I got was with him and Damian.
Yeah.
We
got one book left for Rebirth this year. And this one, Superman number 27. Did you read some number 27? There was a lot of political stuff in that one. And it's basically the Kent on vacation.
I didn't read that one yet. And I had a variant cover. I didn't even know that.
You did?
Yeah. That's different from the one.
That's number 21.
That should be it, right?
There's number 26. Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, no. Then I did. Huh. I didn't get the
You have it here somewhere.
We got it on a dock. But anyways, Superman issue number 28. It's getting late, isn't it?
Yes.
Fear Self Part 1. The writing team of Tomasi and Gleason are joined by co-writer Keith Campaign.
Champagne.
You know, he got a really nice name. Keith Champagne. In a story to returns the Green Lantern roots and asks the question, what scares Superman? Ooh. Think we could get some Yellow Lantern in there, too?
Quite possibly.
The art is done by Doug Mink and Jamie Mendoza. And this is a lot of writers, we just said. Keith Champagne, Patrick Gleason, and Peter J. Tomasi. And let's see. Still, once again, the only thing starring Superman. They're not talking about any of the Lanterns. So.
Well, we'll find out what happens there. There's one more book. That was the end of the Rebirth previews that we usually do. But this one I had to throw on there as an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Because we have the new Mr. Miracle book coming in a couple of weeks.
Actually, the characters I was talking about that was behind him on here, those are the ones I couldn't think of their names. And I still don't know their names.
Ah.
But they're right
there. Well, we have a New God Special number one. And this is a 48-page book.
So, of course, it's going to be the $4.99.
Yeah, the $5 price. And it's in a feature-length story, Orion and Light Ray. Orion and Light Ray.
That was his name.
Well, must come to the aid of Forager and his people as Kalibak has established a brutal dictatorship over the Bug Colony. In confronting his evil brother, Orion faces the darker side of his own nature. And in a backup story, Master Comics writer and artist Walter Simonson tells a tale of a young Orion and his friend Sigrun. Also includes a reprint of a classic New Gods tale by Jack Kirby.
Hmm.
So, and Jack Kirby, if anybody doesn't know, actually created the New Gods back in the 70s. And the whole Fourth World idea.
Yeah, and Jack Kirby left his mark on the New Gods. As I said, to me, I feel like he's more known for his New Gods than anything really at Marvel.
No, because...
What do you think?
You gotta think, Kirby was Spider-Man and Fantastic Four,
work,
all those
saying,
guys, so
but
no.
Well, what name do you usually
for
hear?
For DC, New Gods was one of his biggest things.
I think that... For me, I think that's his biggest thing, that he gets a good recognition for. The other stuff is really Stan Lee's.
Yeah, but Stan Lee and Kirby together. It was
the
team of them that did it.
But I don't know. For Jack Kirby, the New Gods was his biggest. To me, it was his biggest thing.
For this, the art was done by Michelle Dilecki and Shane Davis, and is written by Shane Davis. And we know Walt Simonson actually did the backup art and the backup story. So, but that's the end of our books for this week. There's a lot of stuff that we actually found some pretty good news and stuff coming out even this close to Comic-Con.
Yeah, as we said, we're going to have a lot of leakage still out of Comic-Con that we didn't get before.
Oh, yeah.
So there's still things just coming on out. And actually, we get the pictures. This is the covers for each one that's coming out.
For which books?
Is this the New Gods that we're going to be getting?
It's possible. What's the dates on those?
8/9, 8/16, 8/23, 8/30, and 8/30.
Wow, we got a bunch of New God stuff coming out soon.
Yeah.
So, well, what's the names on those? We got
The New Gods is the ones coming out this week. The Newsboy Legion of Boy Commando Special Number 1 for 8/9. The Sandman Special Number 1 for 8/16. The Manhunter Special for Issue Number 1. Darkseid Special Issue Number 1 for 8/30. And then the Black Racer and Salo Norman Special Number 1 for 8/30.
See, some of those I've never heard of, but some of them I'm wondering, I don't know if they're actually New God stuff or not. So we'll find out as we go.
The Sandman special's new. The Newsboys Legion, that's new to me. And then Black
Newsboys
Racer.
Legion, I've heard of.
I've heard of Darkseid, of course, and the Manhunters. That's
yeah.
about it. And then the one we just did a synopsis about. So,
I believe that pretty much wraps us up for today.
Yeah, it does.
So, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of us?
Guys, you can find us on our social media. On Instagram, we are on Twitter, we are Superpowers DC. On Instagram and Facebook, we are, of course, DC Superpowers Podcast.
For
and,
you?
Oh, yeah, of course, for me. For Instagram, I'm Hollin' at Wolf. For Twitter, I'm V Yellow. And for Facebook, I am Vernon McWayne Moore.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as GW1Ken. On Facebook, you can find me as Ken Rose. You can also, I don't usually throw these out there, but you can find me on my other podcast, GeekWatch1 at geekwatch1.com. And Wookiee Radio, at which is over on the Weebie Geeks Network at WeebieGeeksPC.com, or I believe it's WookieRadio.net. I'm not sure. So, other than that, you can also find the show at the TangentBoundNetwork.com and the Weebie Geeks Networks.coms at Tangentbound Network, or the Weebie Geeks Network and the Tangentbound Network at TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. You can also email the show at DCSuperPowersPodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is there anything else for today?
No, I think that's it. We covered everything we needed to. We had all the movie news that we found, a lot of the comic book news. As we said, we covered a lot of stuff from the San Diego Comic-Con, so we didn't have as much to cover this week. But next week, I'm pretty sure we're going to be back to normal and have a lot more news.
Especially the closest we're getting to the TV seasons, we're starting to get more casting news and details
what
on what's coming up.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say, Blu-ray. We got Blu-ray and we got the digital stuff now from PC, from Mac, from anything now. We got the PlayStation, Xbox. Guys, if you were fans 10 years ago of any of the DC animated series, you can now pre-order it or just buy it. They've been going over a lot of these. I think like 3 new ones they've been talking about.
As the DC animated universe is actually getting 10 years old or more, they're putting out 10th anniversary editions of all of the movies pretty much.
Mm-hmm. They just put out, what was that? Batman, Superman, Apocalypse?
I think so.
With Supergirl being introduced.
Also, I did see, you have to search it out on IO9. IO9 actually put out a list where they took, I believe it was the 28 DC animated movies since they started their extended universe in 2007. And actually ranked them 1 through 28.
Yep, and I've seen
you got to check that out over on IO9. We didn't cover it today, but I did see a list, and it's an interesting list, and they actually give you reasons and things like that.
Right before we go, I was thinking, just a quick idea. You think you might want to review one of our favorites and then come on here and talk about it at some point?
We could possibly do something like that. Well, we do have another one coming up in 2 weeks we got to review anyway.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing the Batman and Harley Quinn movie as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the next one we're going to review.
Okay.
So, do you have anything else for today, Vernon?
That was the last thing to pop in my head.
Okay, I know, Nico, you were checking us out on Facebook Live. Thank you for doing that, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And for that, Vernon, thank you for hanging out.
No problem. Anytime.
We'll see you next week.
We will.
Super Friends, thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you next week, too.